when we were simpler about life, right? We did these things that we enjoyed. And I look at our kids, and that's why I want to keep that spirit of youth in them and ourselves forever, because that really is so connected to our authentic self. Welcome to Spiritually Hungry, Authenticity Unleashed Part 2. I don't know if I'll be as funky.
I don't think we should call it Authenticity Unleashed Part 2.
Are you already challenging me? You haven't even started the podcast yet. What do you think we should call it?
More authenticity.
I think that's...
More authentic. More authenticity.
I'm not even sure that's...
No, as I pointed out, I don't want people to think, oh, I have to hear one before I hear two. Because hopefully today we'll be sharing.
All right. Welcome to Spiritually Hungry and welcome to more on authenticity.
How about more authentic?
All righty.
I'm so happy we're doing a segment on this because as you think about
this... That's cute. You changed the way you said because. You used to say because.
I know.
And now I've rubbed off on you, another way. And now you say because.
I think that's less authentic. My authentic is because.
Look at all you changing.
I know. Because...
That's how you used to say it.
Now I say because?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That was an inauthentic moment then.
No, I just think I'd like to see my influence.
Oh, you have
invisible
a
ways.
That this is probably the most important thing in life, right? And I think it's important to realize that actually most of what leads to pain is consciously or unconsciously being inauthentic.
True. It's interesting because I was thinking about this actually earlier today. Something prompted that. And I think, this what I'm about to share. I think that often we try to hide ourselves because we get feedback from people that is negative, like, oh, you're too much of this, or I don't like that about you, or gossip right behind your back that eventually comes to you. And you get all of this negative noise in your head and you start to think, well, maybe I need to be a little bit less of myself. So I'll fit in, I'll belong, I won't stand out, people will like me. And then the narrative goes on and on. One of my favorite quotes is by E.E. Cummings. He says, it takes courage to grow up and become who you really are. And I think that that is really the goal that we need to keep at the forefront of our minds. And I think one of the biggest ways we avoid doing that is that we lie, and we lie a lot. We lie to other people very simply, like, no, I didn't think that, or no, I didn't say that, or yeah, I agree with you. And really, we don't. But mostly we lie to ourselves, really in and out every single day.
And that's so important because if you think about it, if you're not being yourself and people are quote unquote liking you, they're actually not even liking you.
Yeah, who are they liking? And then you have to keep that up, and that's exhausting. And then over time, you start to feel unfulfilled and you don't even know who you are. You don't have the clarity anymore of what you think. So then you depend on other people to tell you what to do. So it starts this whole kind of life that really you're at one point, one day, eventually.
Maybe.
It might be the last day of your life. But like,
also people just, can lead this world in living in an inauthentic version of themselves. And I think it's important that we underscore this, meaning I would say to any and every one of our listeners, of course, issues are always complex, but if you're experiencing dissatisfaction with your life, at the core, if you uncover, you'll find that the seed of that, or the source of that, is lack of authenticity. And I want to caution that it's not often going to be obvious. Oh, I realize why I'm happy this morning and dissatisfied with my life because, I'm not. No. It's going to take discovering. And that's why the focus on living an authentic life is maybe the most important focus that any one of us needs to be not only thinking about, but rethinking about and re-questioning. And it could be in those small, I just had a conversation with this person. And why did I say that? Or I actually didn't understand what they were saying. Why did I say, oh yeah, that makes sense, right? I think it's just discovering all those small moments of inauthenticity, if that's a word, that will help you come to live an authentic life. And it has to be, I would say it's almost a daily practice.
It is a daily practice.
A daily practice of authenticity, both in the positive and in the negative.
It's many times a day.
Yeah.
It's interesting because in Kabbalah, we talk a lot about how you need to make yourself uncomfortable for growth, right? And I thought this was interesting and I wanted to unpack it. Mel Robbins said something about authenticity. She was talking about how when she got out of law school, she went on a job interview. And attorneys at that time wore pencil skirts and blazers. And she hates wearing that. She's not comfortable in that. And so she decided she was going to wear a pantsuit. So she went into the interview and she ran into somebody she knew. And they said, oh my God, what are you wearing? You're never going to get the job dressed like that. And she thought, well, that's great, because I could never wear that pencil skirt every single day. Like, I think that when we feel uncomfortable in a way that makes us question our values, our morals, what we really believe in, or what we know we will enjoy for the rest of our lives in terms of like our purpose, because you get little indications of that. Listen to that, right? So that's different than chasing the uncomfortable for change. But this other part of really a deep knowing of yourself, that if I pretend, you know, this is the job I'm supposed to get, or this is the thing I'm supposed to do, but I'm really, really not, I'm worried about this because I don't think I can sustain it. Listen to that voice.
Well, I think you just touched upon two very, very important ideas. One, which is profound, that if you're showing up inauthentically, whether it's at a job interview or on a date or in your daily life, you might actually get the outcome that you're going for in that moment. But if it's not authentic to you, it's actually going to be the worst success you ever have. Because every day moving forward, you can't be your authentic self. And I think it's so important. People do this all the time.
All the time. That's why they end up like, how did I get here? Why did I choose this? Right. Well, this is why you chose
exactly.
it.
If you, but rather, if you come into the job interview, if you come into the date, if you come into your daily life as a more authentic version of yourself, and you achieve success in the job interview, in your date, in your life, in your day, then it's actually me. A fulfilling, I think it's a fulfilling, you know, success.
So interesting. I was just speaking to somebody who's been married for, probably 18 years. And she's not fulfilled. And more than that, she hasn't been.
Do I know this person?
Yeah. Okay. She hasn't been herself really. She's been less and less of herself from the day they got married. And she's reached a point in her life, she doesn't even know who she is. And she asks that question every day. Why am I here? What is my purpose? And interestingly enough, she reconnected with her childhood friend from elementary school. And she's, you know, they're talking and spent time together and she's laughing. And she just, she's so herself with this person, like so completely herself. And she sent me a picture and I said, I have never seen you smile with your eyes like at all in your adult life. And in that picture, she was smiling and laughing, but her eyes were different, right? I think it's that feeling. It's that place where you are able to feel so completely wholly you and comfortable in your own skin, that's really how you should feel every day. And with that, then you can approach the things that you want to change about yourself and about your life. But first, it's that arriving, right? This is who I am, and this is what makes me feel happy, whole, and fulfilled.
Yeah, it's so important. And I think, you know, those of us who are parents, right? I think it's an important thought as we talk about our children. We have this discussion often in our family. You're in school, you're trying out for a play in school, you're trying to make a friend in school. And there is a balance, right? It doesn't mean you spew forth at every moment, every thought and part of your being, but it is reminding our children, reminding ourselves. No, if your friend group behaves in, if your potential friend group is nasty to each other or and you're going to try to change to fit into that, you might feel satisfied for the first day, week, month, or even a year. But the reality is it's going to make you learn the worst lesson in life, that I need to be inauthentic. And in order to achieve that which I want, it's actually not what you want. And being inauthentic can never lead you to a satisfied life. It's
I really, with our youngest, we often have that conversation where she'll come home and somebody said something kind of mean. She has this one friend that's like, well, say something mean. She's like, just kidding. Well, no, actually, you're not kidding. And it's really kind of obvious to me. But and Abigail feels that, right? And we'll talk about it. So, okay, she said this thing. How do you feel about it? What do you want to be? Do you want to choose the same thing about yourself that you're expressing that she's pushing back on? Right. So it's constantly having that conversation of how do you feel about you in that moment and before that moment and what's true for you.
Right. And I think it's really important now. Well, I was going to say two things. First, I really would like to ask our listeners, and I'll ask you and me, and maybe we'll share, maybe we won't, depending how embarrassed.
Oh, you'll share. What's the question?
Think about an inauthentic moment. Because I think, again, the problem sometimes is that we're just so rushing.
Where we act inauthentic.
Inauthentic. Mm-hmm. In the past day or 2 days, I'd like to ask our listeners to stop and discover discover an inauthentic moment in your day. Because by the way, if you're not doing this, you're going to pass over them too quickly. So I'm gonna take a moment now to think about it too.
I mean, I really, really, really have worked very hard to come to a place where I fully love and accept myself and act authentic in all moments. I think I say too much.
I disagree.
I think for you and for me. Do you have one for me?
Because I think you're almost teaching our listeners a very dangerous.
No, but okay, tell me.
I was thinking about myself.
Tell me yours.
Like, there's something yesterday that upset me, right? So if you think about it.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't overwhelmed with upset, but it's upset me, right? And the reality is, I think, and again, this might be a little bit of a stretch, but becoming upset about something that somebody's did, and even if you're right that what they did was wrong, but that internal sense of, oh, I'm upset.
So reaction?
Reaction, exactly. Being reactive.
You're saying is inauthentic to your soul, but you're taking this next level.
Exactly, and I do want to take
it. Because I was thinking in terms of day-to-day expression.
But I think this is really, I really want to delve into this a little bit. There's a very big difference between, you know, authenticity and doing and saying what's coming to you now. Why? And this is, again, I hope this isn't too deep, but I don't think
it's those two choices, but I know where you're going with this. I don't think it's this or that.
Well, can I?
Yeah, okay, you can.
It's based on the foundational truth that each one of us has two parts, our authentic self, soul, often referred to as our soul, and the inauthentic self, the ego, the desire to receive for the self alone, selfishness. If we're not careful, we confuse or conflate the two aspects of who we are and say, well, I'm reactive now. That's my authentic self. Mm-hmm. It's coming from my ego. It's coming from my desire to receive for the self alone, but it feels like it's me. And if it feels like it's me, I just heard a great podcast from Monica and Michael called Spiritually Hungry that said that I need to live my authentic self. Let me be reactive. That's authentic. And if I suppress that, I'm being inauthentic, right?
So clearly we're not saying that.
Right. But I do think that unless you're paying attention, you'll wind up, a person can or will wind up saying, sorry, I just want to, and really what we're talking about here when we say authentic, and it's, I think it's very, very important that this becomes clear, is being true to your soul, its desires, and its thoughts.
What's that moment where you did something, I did something, like, oh my God, how could you do that? Monica, that's not you. Right. That's what you're talking about. Right. It's those moments. Right. And we all have those moments of clarity. Not enough, but in hindsight, we're like, oh my God, I could have done better. Why did I show up like that? And that's, I think that's bingo.
Exactly. Yeah. And therefore, back to the thought moment that I was thinking about, why did I get upset? That wasn't authentic to my soul. That wasn't authentic to who I really am.
Oh, yeah. So I had many moments like that.
There you go. But that's a positive thing. I think if any one of our listeners...
With that lens, let me think. 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think for our listeners, if you can't find an authentic moment, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
You're authentic.
I'm in it to win it. I can own that stuff. Yeah,
but I think, okay, perfect. Yeah. So I'm very happy I belabored that point.
I think that's something coming to mind.
You want to share?
Nope. Now, there is one person in my life that gets me like react more than most people. Mm-hmm. And usually I don't bite the bait, but too often I do. Yeah. So
I'm really, again, like I say, I for our listeners, I, for myself, I'm so excited.
But I know that this person is just like so perfect for me. And once I, you know.
So, yeah. And in this lens, I think it's really important that every day when we wake up in the morning, the thought should be, I want to be authentic today. And what that means is I want to hear the voice of my soul. And I want to act more often than not, that we're not meant to be perfect throughout this day, listening to the voice of my soul. And again, I promise you, to our listeners, I guarantee you that if you do the necessary work to make this your daily routine, you'll be happier, but more importantly, you'll actually be living the life that you're meant to be living.
It's interesting because many people get stuck in perfection, right? They can't admit that they made a mistake. And like, look, honestly, I've come a long way because I was that person, right? When we met, please don't see me as flawed, you know, I can't make a mistake. And again, I worked really hard to, it was just a dead end. But I think for a lot of people, and I see this day to day, like they beat themselves up. How could I have made a mistake? How could I have done that? And it's like, well, wait a second. We all make mistakes. It's what you do with it, right?
And
I like this quote.
You just inspired me. So
okay, fine. No. Sheila's going to enjoy it.
Oh, is it Sheila? Yeah.
I don't know what her name is, but yeah.
What that means is, and then really it's two things, if I can share two things. One is that when you're having an interaction with somebody and you don't know, right? You don't know, or you made a mistake. The most authentic thing you can do is say, I was wrong. Or I don't know what that word means. Can you tell me what that word means? Right? Clearly. Mm-hmm. Right? I think like for me, this is a very clear, because this is something none of us like doing. Right.
Right. And if you can't even do that, then that's the beginning and the end of the
day. I don't want to make our listeners feel.
No, it depends.
Yeah. Oh, in relationship.
Yeah. Important exchanges, whatever. You were not here. But the ones that you want with you, around you, your environment, your closest friends, your relatives, your partner. Yeah, that...
And that's why I think, I know for myself, it's something that I'm actually conscious of. The more often in a meeting or in an interaction, I could say, what does that mean? I don't understand. What is that? What does that word mean? It's not so much about the, of course, if I care about the relationship, then the way to create strong bonds is by really being authentic as often as you can. So if I can do that rather than just keep the conversation going as if I understood what you were saying. But so I make it an active, I try to make it an active part of my interactions is if I don't understand something, if you know, show up as your authentic self.
I actually love those moments. I'm like, wow, I learned something new today. Like, right. I actually get excited about it.
But if we're honest, there are times where we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Right. But the point is you realize that it's those moments are the most powerful moments, are the truly authentic you, which leads me to another
part. Wait one second. It reminds me of my father, because he used to, when he didn't know something and he heard it for the first time or today, he would say, is that right? And I used to love when he'd say that. And I used to love when he'd say it to me, because I was like, oh, I just taught my dad something. Anyway, I don't know. It took me to a different place.
That's funny. Which leads me to something that those who did listen to last week's podcast, right? The idea of being silly.
Which we'll go to, but I was talking about perfection. But
I'm
okay,
so sorry.
No, go ahead. I want to hear about being silly.
I think most of us, our most authentic self is silly. We're not serious people. I mean, I think we're all just serious, meaning we're doing serious and important things with our lives, but we don't really take ourselves seriously. I mean, I hope. I mean, I know you and I, like, again, I wonder, maybe there's people, but I know that's not authentic. So the question really has to be, you know, we put on these cloaks, these costumes, you know, I'm a 50-year-old man, I'm doing important work, people, you know, I'm a teacher, all these things, I need to be seen as serious or at least not stupid or silly. Whereas in reality, again, and I think silliness is so important, there are many, probably a lot of other benefits to it, but one of it is because we're actually being authentic.
Well, you know what's interesting about that? Because we both love being silly.
Yes.
And actually the times that I think back to our moments as a family, it's always those silly ones. Like if I think back right now to like the top five, it's going to be moments where we were silly together, or made the kids laugh, or like, you know, doing something in the kitchen impromptu. If you really want to know what lights you up, think back to periods of your life when you were most authentic, right? It's going to be in your childhood when you were doing something that you loved, whether it was dancing. For me, it was dancing or gymnastics, tap dance, ballet, whatever, where you were creating. I mean, think about your six-year-old self. What was that thing that made you happy? If that's not part of your life today, there's actually a problem with that. Maybe it was painting. Maybe it was playing the piano. The thing is, when we were simpler about life, right, we did these things that we enjoyed. And I look at our kids, and that's why I want to keep that spirit of youth in them and ourselves forever, because that really is so connected to our authentic self.
That's a very profound statement. And I'm sorry, I'm probably interrupting.
You're going to get some hate mail today.
I just want to underscore. I think for our listeners, I mean, I hope this is an aha moment for some of our listeners, at least. Right, to really ask yourself the question, when was the last time you were silly? Maybe it's just with your family, maybe it's with your best friends. But if that, you know, childlike, and I will add one, if it's okay. Now, there's one of the great Kabbalists, his name was the Baal Shem Tov. And he said, you know, and he was a leader. Eventually, he reached millions of people, continues, even though he lived in, you know, 250 years ago. At the end of his spiritual journey, he says, my desire is to be like a child. Mm. And I think that...
Was there more on that?
Yes, yes. Because he was talking in that case about his level of certainty. Like when you're a little baby or a child with your parents, you feel so safe and protected.
Just hold their hand and you walk blindly wherever they could take you.
Exactly. You're not worried.
Like, what are we doing? Oh, okay. Wherever you are, exactly. You are. Yeah.
There's actually a beautiful verse in Psalms where King David says, you know, bring me back to the days like a child in my mother's arms. Mm. And that
word,
but that's what we need, even no matter how young
you were meant to live that. Yeah,
you were meant to live that now. And I know for myself and for you, and I really hope for our listeners, that this becomes a life goal. I call it silliness, call it childishness, whatever you want to call it, but make that a life goal and ask yourself the question, why am I living such a serious life? Yeah, again, to be very clear, I think our listeners are going to get confused. You need to be doing important things. You need to be being authentic and allowing your soul to shine, but be silly.
Sure, years ago, Mary and I, she was probably like 13, 14. And she was at that, you know, the awkward stage of change with your body and whatever else. We'd gone shopping. And anyway, she got in a bad mood. It's never fun in clothes shopping at certain ages in our lives. Anyway, we were driving back from the mall and she was upset. And I don't know what came over me, but I just really, really wanted to make her happy because she's usually, thank God, that's her disposition usually. So the song came on the radio. I think it's Another One Bites the Dust. And all of a sudden I start to, and we're stuck in traffic. This is in LA on a Olympic Boulevard. And so bumper to bumper. So there's cars everywhere, right? I blast the music and I start rocking out. Like you don't even understand. Like that same like, dance,
you.
Like nobody's watching. Yeah. Okay.
No, but
like,
you exaggerate.
Everything's jerking and I'm like dancing. And so, no, you get, no, I'm not. And all of a sudden,
I'll be entertained.
The car next to me, they were like looking to see if I'm like mentally impaired. Okay. And then the other side also. And Mary, she starts laughing. And the more she's laughing, the more I'm kind of like jerking and I start dripping sweat. By the time we got home, because it was traffic, it was like 25 minutes of that. She was crying, but from laughter. And she just hugged me and she's like, thank you so much. And it was like one of the best times we ever had together. It's those, and that's authentic. If you know me, you know that I love to dance and you know I love to be silly. Yeah. And you know, I love to make people happy. So it's like, find those moments and let yourself do it.
Yeah. Beautiful. So now I won't interrupt you anymore. You were saying.
I don't even know. Okay. So Plato said, in order for any of us to achieve perfection, we first have to transcend the imperfection of reality. So basically.
Say that again.
In order for any of us to achieve perfection, we'd first have to transcend the imperfection of reality, meaning perfection never comes. If a person's dead, would they be? It never happens, right? This idea of perfection, though, I think is important because when we're so busy trying to look a certain way or being a certain way, we become motionless. We actually stop doing those things, right? Finding the things that light us up. I remember, you know, I was a runner for so long, a marathon runner. I loved it. And I was really running things off, right? It was in a different state of mind. And when I got healthy again, mentally, emotionally, physically, and all that trauma was behind me, I started to pay attention that I actually didn't feel good to my body anymore. And I was like, well, I don't want to keep doing this because it's not feeling good anymore. So I remember the question I asked myself is, what do children do to have fun? You know, what did I do as a child to have fun? So I went back to dancing. So if I was too busy with, oh, you have to look a certain way and you have to continue with this thing that makes you look, you know, really accomplished, I would be stuck in that forever. I would never give myself permission to go and see anything else.
I just want to underscore what you said. I'm not cutting you off. I'm just underscoring for our listeners. I think it's a good moment to ask our listeners to, based on what you just said, because it's so important, again, that when you're inauthentic, what you're actually doing is continuing down a path that you actually don't want, but others you think have bought into, and therefore you have to keep doing what they think of you, which is crazy, but we all do it to one degree or another. So I would ask our listeners to really stop and ask themselves, what am I doing that is actually not something that I want to do, but because others have bought into this vision of me or thought of me, I'm continuing to do. It's crazy.
Because imperfection, when we start to lean into that, it encourages us to move, to change, to correct things, to evolve. It's movement, right? Even nature relies on imperfection, not perfection, as a driving force for transformation. So, and also, if you think about it this way, if you look at like great art, like Salvador Dali, right? Everything is asymmetrical. If you look at the Mona Lisa, the smile's crooked. It's actually in those things that are imperfect that authenticity truly comes through. I mean, even singers, right? The voices that are sometimes quirky and not the most beautiful are the funnest to listen to, right? So,
although there's sometimes joy in hearing a beautiful
voice. For sure. But I think that if the person who doesn't have like Bob Dylan, right? If he thought, wow, I'm not a good enough singer, my vocal cords, whatever, I sound different than everybody else right now, then I'm not going to pursue this. Imagine what we wouldn't be able to experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was thinking as you were talking, is that, again, how dangerous the pitfall of, you know, of inauthenticity. And, you know, again, like I said, I have to keep reminding myself it's a very important part of the way I see my life. Again, because, you know, we get to quote unquote positions where people look up to you or they learn from you. And I'll share you like when I share personal stories.
Yes.
So every once in a while, somebody comes up to me and, you know, for whatever, one reason or another, they ask me to give them a blessing. Mm. And the one thought that I always have in my mind, you know, people, because in their perception, they might become, oh, this is a spiritual person, you know, they can give me a blessing. But there's actually a phrase in the Talmud which I really like, which is that the blessing of a simple person should not be small in your eyes, mm, or light in your eyes, unimportant, meaning even the lowest, simplest person, right, their blessing is powerful. And that's why, my point is that this internal dialogue that we need to be having with ourselves, and it's, by the way, it I promise you, it'll bring you so much freedom.
Totally.
Because we're all weighted down by others. And so for each one of us, this probably, again, depending on how big our life is, 10 people, 20 people, 50 people, 100 people, 1,000 people or more, who have their slightly tinged, inauthentic view of us. And that, if you're not careful, that weighs you down.
Yep.
And you start living a life for them and you think it's for you. Again, like I said,
it's
just so important.
We had this conversation today that, you know, sometimes we're judged by people or misunderstood completely and people believe a certain thing about us and then they behave poorly. I actually find that kind of liberating. I'm thinking, wow, I must be something really special that I'm making somebody have such a reaction, whether it's positive or negative. So I don't know. And I don't think you can get there if you're not claiming your authenticity. The beauty and the byproduct of living authentically is you find your life's purpose is closely linked. A deep sense of purpose helps you express your authenticity, while developing your authenticity will often help you discover your purpose.
Right. And I, like you said, I don't think it's possible to discover it without
exactly
fighting to live an authentic life. Thank you, Monica. I was going to add something, but I won't.
No, please.
I'm
now
afraid
you're
of the wrath.
No, come on. Wrath. What did you want to say?
Now I was going to say one more.
Come on, bring it on.
One more thing. So what we're really talking about here is hearing and then living according to the voice of your soul. And the Kabbalists teach that the only way that I'm actually be able to consistently hear the voice of my soul is commensurate, equal to the energy I put into silencing all the other voices. So for every moment that I say, I'm not going to behave in this way because this person expects me to do it. Again, assuming that that's, you know, a real authentic soul. For that, you can have another moment where you actually hear your voice, your soul. And that grows. You have to be...
Every time you deny that other thing that you shouldn't participate in, the other voice, you start to raise the volume of your own.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a very important Kabbalist teaching that you have to actively be silencing the ego in order to gain the blessing of hearing the soul. Mm. And if you're not, and you ask yourself the question again, you know, how many times today did I silence the voice of my ego? Because if I want to hear today and tomorrow the voice of my soul, that's one of the most important things for me to do. And like I said, I really hope that our listeners, you know, this hopefully becomes a very practical practice, right? You want to live an authentic life. You want to live a happy life. You want to live a satisfying life. This is the only way.
I often say to people I meet with, most people spend a lot of their time in life not liking who they see in the mirror, not liking themselves. And it's problematic because the longest and most important relationship you'll ever have is the one you have with yourself. And of course, that's connected to your source. But it's crazy not to do everything in your power to make this the most powerful, nurturing, loving relationship you can have.
Beautiful. Thank you, Monica.
Thank you, Michael.
I'm happy I was here to listen to your podcast today. I'll take this moment to read a relatively long, but I think...
Is that double-sided?
It is double-sided. Mm-hmm. Is it okay? Mm-hmm. I'll edit maybe as
no,
I read,
no,
but
just
it's,
read it.
It's so... Dearest Monica and Michael, by the way, before we begin, this is a good moment to remind our listeners to please keep sending in your emails, questions, comments, chastisements of me.
Oh, stop it.
To Monica and Michael at spirituallyhungry.life. We read all of your emails. We enjoy receiving them, and it inspires us and inspires our listeners. So this is an email we received. Dear Monica and Michael, for a long time coming, I have wanted to write to thank you for all the wisdom and encouragement that you've given me in this life. I often attempt to send some words and then I'm paralyzed with an overwhelming amount of joy and sometimes pain, to be honest, yet all necessary to open my heart. It's just simply too much what I feel, what I want to say, quote, where do I start? Is the thought I always come to and then I lose the nerve. The podcast to me, to begin somewhere, is a tremendous source of inspiration. So many times, I'd say in every single episode I've listened to, I've related to what you say, both of you. Me too. I have these aha moments I find quite interesting because they remind me of a certain situation or moment in times past. Going forward and to make this courageous move, I call finally writing in, I feel like this is the best time to do so. I'm having brain surgery in 2 days.
Wow.
To tell you a bit of the backstory, I suffered an aneurysm about a month ago and it all happened so fast. Between the doctor's appointments and waiting periods, to say the least, I wish I had more to say about it. I just don't. And up until this point, although I do not fully understand why this happened, I trust that, to quote your credo, Michael, as I too have used these words many times in many situations, whatever the Creator wants. Mm. Today has been an incredibly different day compared to any other day in life, including childbirth. Since I got home yesterday from having an angiogram done, I've kept hearing a few words whispered in my ear you may be familiar with. Fear is not an option.
Mm.
I have to tell you both how life-changing that book was for me. It was the first book in my life I've read in one sitting. At the time, I was pregnant with my first son, and I meant to come to the center in New York. That night, Monica was going to do a book signing. Instead, the Creator wanted me to skip the train ride, stay home, and read the book. I was under medical instruction to rest and stop all activity immediately if there were any signs of going into premature labor. I remember getting ready and feeling so excited, and just moments before I walked out the door, I began to bleed lightly. This was a clear indication that I needed to relax and read a good book. I have to mention that after growing my certainty in the light of the Creator, during such difficult time and the blessing and the blessings, I wholeheartedly believe this is the reason I brought the baby home. He will be 7 this summer.
It's made me cry.
The courage I gained from the book was the catalyst that made my journey into motherhood confident and possible. So I thank you, Monica. It is with great love and appreciation that I send this message to you both. I do not know what awaits and have decided to stop Googling for answers. Come what may, I have the certainty that a new life is on the other side of the surgery and everything will be how it is meant to be. I told my husband of a silly fear I have. It's the thought of coming out of surgery not remembering certain things about me or the people I've known and loved. It's not likely, right? As it's mentioned in the book, though, it's just a silly fear. And for this reason, I thought to write myself a letter to read when I come home and see if I remembered writing what I said. Instead, I chose to write to you guys. Unbeknownst to you, you've been the best guides, spiritual brother and sister. Sorry to make this weird, since we all know you're a loving couple in this life. An influence anyone could ever have. I have been through pain and suffering that transformed into joy and fulfillment over these past 17 years. All worth it. I learned and prayed alongside kids that are teachers themselves today. Such a merit. In the hearts of many like mine and those that share and desire to spread the wisdom of Kabbalah, I thank them. From the profound words and teachings of Rabbi Zecharia, death for a moment, and then complete restoration. I derive the strength I need to make it through this difficult time. With love, Amalia.
Oh, it's so beautiful. Please write to us and let us know how you're doing and how the surgery was so successful. And you really moved both of us.
And to, I know all and our thousands of listeners.
To well. Our to tears and touched our heart. And thank you.
So thank you to certainly to Amalia, and we wish her complete health and healing. But to all of our listeners, please continue to write all of your thoughts, comments, appreciations. As you can see, they inspire us, they move us, and I know that they move all of our listeners as well. So thank you, and we hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast as much as we enjoyed recording it.
Stay spiritually hungry.